Why? Because he just was born strong. You know, they pulled him out of his womb and he had, you know, like pecs and decks and traps and lats and, you know. No, he was a baby, man. Mother had to hold it, couldn't even hold his head up. His mother had to put her hand behind his head. It's because he built himself up to that place. Spiritually, we start out weak. We're zealous, but man, we start out weak and we have to build that strength. And fasting builds those spiritual muscles. If God calls me to go down to and minister in South Africa for the rest of my life, where I might have to live on like bugs and, you know, what's that? What they have in that movie? The monkey brains. If I feel God calling me to live a life of almost poverty in order to reach a people group down there, I might have the strength to make that kind of commitment if I've been saying no to various things every day of my life and learning to live on less. Fasting is a way of training. It's a discipline. It helps us build muscles for when we encounter opposition. Do you remember we said several weeks ago that revival always has opposition? When God truly moves in a powerful way, and some of the fiercest opposition doesn't come from the world, the flesh, or the devil, comes from the church. Church will beat you up for following Jesus, man. Church will come down on you hard if you really walk in the anointing of God. Are you ready for that? We talked about the Welsh revival of 1904. It became a worldwide event. People were coming from China to Wales to see what God was doing, and then taking that anointing back, it spread over the whole world. And there in Wales, man, it was poured out with such power, but people opposed it so hard, and the established religiosity of the church came against it with such venom that the guy who spearheaded it, Evan Roberts, had a nervous breakdown and walked away from the ministry 2 years into the revival. You can look at Todd Bentley right now, man. I read horrible things people were saying about him on the internet. Are you ready to stand up to that? As we cry out, God, revive me, are you ready for some of the flack you might receive in your life? Do you know if God really gets a hold of you? You might hear some very, what's the word I'm looking for? Painful things. People might say things to you that are unfair, that are untrue, that will slice you and dice you and cut you over and over and over and over. And are you spiritually strong enough to stand up to that and say, that's okay. That's okay, man, because I want God more than the praise of man. Fasting builds that spiritual strength. It teaches us to deny the instant gratification and go for the eternal stuff. Finally, this. Thank you for being patient with me. Appreciate it. Number three, fasting keeps our heart in tune with God's heart for revival. Keeps our heart in tune with God's heart. You know, if we cry out to God for revival, tears coursing down our cheeks, broken in spirit over the way things are, crying out, burdened for the glory of God, burdened because of the sin we see all around us and the filth and the wickedness, broken before God, crying out for God to move, to come in and change. If we're weeping for the lost, we're plunging into the depths of hell faster than water over Niagara Falls, and we're truly before God like that, would it be a little inconsistent if in the midst of that we started partying and carrying on, spending money like there's no tomorrow, buying ourselves all kinds of wonderful entertainment and goodies and stuff like that? Would that be a little bit inconsistent in your mind? What do you think? I don't know. What do you think, Evan? Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, for real. Word, absolutely. It would be inconsistent. How can I sit here and cry out to God and say, God, have mercy, Lord, this world is insane. God, you must move or there's no tomorrow. God, how can you allow them to defame you like that? Lord, how can you allow them to treat your name with such callous disrespect? God, how can you allow them to treat your people? How can you allow this stuff to go on and on and on? Lord, move on us. And then run out and party and carry on and spend, you know, $500 at Nordstrom's, you know, for some, you know, dress or something. It's inconsistent. It's inconsistent. You know? Oh, God, please send revival. Please send it, Lord. Please send it. What's that noise? The UPS man. Check it out. Brown's in town. Man, what do we got? Oh, my flat screen TV has just come in. Oh, my goodness. There's my new amplifier. Oh, man. I don't know. To me, it's inconsistent, you know? Oh, yeah, just lay it over there, man. We're going to a party tonight. Man, I'll bring my flat screen. We can all watch it, and it's got the new speakers and the stereo. Oh, yeah, always bringing the Lexus. Man, just park that next to the UPS truck. Right there. Beautiful. Man, we are going to rock and roll tonight. Oh, yeah. And God, please, I'll get back to you. I want to set this thing up. And I'm not saying those things are wrong or bad. Please don't misunderstand me. But there is to everything there is a season. And during a season when we are broken before God, seeking Him with every fiber of our being, it is inconsistent to then go out and indulge ourselves on the cares and the pleasures of this world. Is it not? Isn't it true? And that's why there's all different kinds of fasting. You know, God said to Jeremiah, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. All of your heart. The distractions quench that thing. So fasting tunes our heart to God. I can't seek Him with abandon if I'm distracted by all these other things. So I would say this, even if you can't fast from food, you know what? What are some things you could fast from? What are some things that you could just offer up on the altar to God? To say, Lord, you know, or even if you can fast, even if you know you're like physically fit, you know, like Bill Cummings, and you look wonderful and, you know, got no health problems. What are some things that I could set aside for a season to truly search God with total abandon, with all my heart and soul and mind and strength? Maybe you're a football fan. Or a baseball fan. Maybe you just love the Orioles or Ravens. Maybe you are. Maybe the walls in your living room are purple because you just love the Ravens. What if you simply gave up a Sunday of watching football and said, you know what? And don't wait for the worst team in the league. I'm talking, you know, just. You know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. They're playing the Redskins. Oh, yeah, I'll fast. Sorry. You got to watch what you say from the pulpit, man. You can make enemies fast. You can have them in one hand and then lose them. They're gone. Run them out of town, the bum. You know what I'm saying, though? What is it that thrills you, that drives you, that you could offer as a sacrifice to God to say, Lord, I love you more than this. I'm a musician. I love nothing more than to pull out the guitar and just pluck around the thing for 2 or 3 hours. But maybe I could say, you know what? I'm just going to leave it in the case this week. I'm not touching it because I'd rather spend that time in prayer. What are some things? You know, Scripture talks in 1 Corinthians, I believe, it talks about married couples giving up sex for a season. You know, it says, do not separate each other except for a season with mutual consent so you can devote yourselves to prayer and then afterwards come back together. You know, something a married couple could do. Let me just open up the floor. What are some things? What are some things? Novels.
The biggest distraction in my life. I'm not joking. I will go with my Bible.
I don't think you're alone, Jenny. Is she alone?
No.
Amen. Praise God. Amen, girl. Serious up, man. That is absolutely a sacrifice that would bring you closer to God. Anybody else?
HGTV.
HGTV. Testify, girl.
That's my time. And everybody goes to bed and everybody, so I and I the other night we were having to do some stuff and I was so tired and so tense from the day and everything, and he said, no, but we have to do this, we have to do this, and I'm like, this is my time.
If you could see her face, boy, I'd be like,
and I went all the way until I was deadly tired, and my prayer, rather than being a big prayer, it was a little teensy prayer, okay, God, I'm tired of you.
How about that? How about that? Instead of, say that last part again, Leomar.
Rather than being the prayer that he deserves, it was a little prayer because I was tired. I made myself tired.
Oops, God, I'm sorry. I ate the feast. Here's some crumbs for you. I saved you a little bit. Amen. I know. I'm right there. Amen. Anybody else?
MySpace.
Internet, MySpace. Yeah, somebody I know publishes bulletins. Not as much. Amen. Testify, girl. Pictures. Wow. But it means a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. If you got a creative bent, you got a creative hair in you that just needs expression, man, and so you get an opportunity like that to work things out and really do that. To be able to say, you know, God, do I really love you more than this my creative gift that you've given me? It's a gift from God. God gave you that creative gift, Amber. Amen. Do you love the giver more than the gift? Can you say, God, this is from your hand, but I'm going to set it aside for a season because you're worth it, Lord. Philip, I know God has given you talent. I've heard about the SG, brother. I mean, that's sweet. I don't know. There might be other things in your life that even are more anything like that. Xbox.
That came from over there.
Yeah. I was looking at Phil, but it's weird. You threw your voice to the other side of the room. Amen. Amen. You know, And I don't want to discount this. It's hard to walk away from that. You know, when that is a part of who we are. It's in fact we do it almost robotically. We go into the room or position or whatever it is that causes that we do when we do those things. Anybody else? Ken.
A lot of stock corporation or third craft on the weekends.
Glory to God. Amen, brother. God bless you for that. Amen. You had that look on your eyes.
My kids are going to think I'm Fox News.
How about that? You really enjoy that, don't you? I'm sure he's right next to you the whole time. Wow. Yeah.
And like Jimmy was sharing, there's times that it's like when I get up in the morning, do I go to the TV first and turn that on, or do I go to my Bible first to have my quiet time? And sometimes it's a battle. It's a serious battle. Which am I going to choose?
Wow. Amen. I'll sit and watch it with my Bible on my lap. So during the commercial, I can... I'm getting an inspiration from somewhere. Amen. But you know, and Laura, praise God, all the years before we had any conservative news stations on there, and finally, thank God, there was somebody that comes out on the news that doesn't, you know, that is not some, you know, liberal freakazoid or something that actually speaks the truth. And it's a good thing. You're thinking, man, this is good stuff. I ought to be watching this. And it makes it all that much harder to walk away from. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road, even that must bow to the Lord. Even the good things. Ty. Sleep. Praise God. Man, you should see the head shaking up and down behind you, brother.
I know on several occasions, times that I could wake up earlier than I did.
Amen.
I can have a little bit more time than what I do in the mornings.
Wow.
You know, because once the cell phone starts ringing, you know, it's all over. The cell phone doesn't usually start ringing until 7:30 or so when people start getting to the office. But, you know, if I'm still in bed at 6 o'clock, that's not going to happen. I won't get that time.
Amen. Amen. You know, before Tony Evans, he's just an amazing preacher. When he was a boy, he couldn't sleep one night. His dad had gotten saved and gloriously saved and was a transformed man. And Tony Evans, as a boy, couldn't sleep one night. So he got out of bed and he went downstairs and he caught his dad praying. Because his dad would get up before anybody else. He would get up before his mom or anybody else because that was the only time he knew that he could really give himself to God in prayer. And he did it in secret. You ever been caught praying? Caught red-handed? Caught you praying. Praise God.